back on the Fan. All right, BT, we'll do Giants coming up in about 15 minutes or so, and then we will have Jermaine Illuminor on. Hit me with your thing that you wanted to get to before the break as it pertains to Soto, the Yankees, and the Mets.
All right, I got something for you here. Yep. So, who was Juan Soto's best friend on the Yankees?
Gleyber Torres.
Okay. Who has been the source of constant consternation on this show between both of us?
Yes,
over Gleyber, the years?
Of course, yeah.
All right. So, money's not an issue. I don't think that Soto is going to make his decision based on what Gleyber Torres does. Mm-hmm. I'm quite sure that that's not going to happen. However, if it was another little log to throw on the fire, well, we got you all the money you want and maybe a little bit more than the Yankees, but how about we bring Gleyber Torres over for 1 year or 2 years, an option, nothing crazy, but you know, 18, 20 mil, the opt-out year two, whatever it might be, player or team, and Gleyber Torres is your second baseman, and McNeil is your third baseman if you put Vientos over to first base. Like, basically what I'm asking.
No part. I want no part.
So you would rather Soto leave and not get Soto?
Yeah, if Soto's decision has anything to do with me as a team, if hypothetically I'm owning the Mets here,
yeah,
has anything to do with Gleyber Torres, I want no part of it. I don't care. I'm trying to build a good baseball team. Gleyber Torres is not the answer.
Okay.
What about from the Yankees' perspective, bringing him back?
No, well, absolutely
maybe the Yankees
not.
Maybe the Yankees could get him at $13,650
no.
and Gleyber back.
They can get him at $13.25. I'm done.
Yeah, okay.
I've ridden the ride with Gleyber. Experience is over.
I do think Gleyber is going to get paid. I just don't
Ooh,
think that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of what? Multi-years? Like, I mean, what do you think? Give me some parameters
here. I think
there's
going to be a market.
Paid.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a market for him. Now, I don't know how much that market is going to be with the way that, you know, the system has gone here in the last couple of years.
More or
but
less
Gleyber's
than...
Oh, you think he'll get $20 million a year?
I was going to say more or less than 3 years at, say, 65 to 70.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think somewhere around
I
here.
Wouldn't do that. There's no way.
But somebody's going to.
They might.
I don't know if you're going to get more than that, but some mid-market team will be like, look, we'll deal with his...
Maybe the Royals. He's actually kind of connected to Kansas City.
Offensively,
yep.
He can be.
Yeah,
you saw
I
it
know.
In the postseason. Like,
but he hit 240 again.
And he was also hitting in front of Judge and Soto, or Soto
Precisely.
And Judge in that order.
And yeah. Again, no real power.
No, but to answer the question, no. And especially okay. Not a good fit for the Mets because he's the last thing they need. They have a billion second baseman options. If anything, I'm looking to clean up the middle infield for the Mets. And I just, if I'm the Mets, I just say, no, I'd rather not do that. I'll give you an extra 50 on top of it. What do you want? 15 years? Okay, we'll do that. I'll go to 15,750 before I would bring Gleyber Torres.
All right.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Bobby's in Mattawan. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
Hey.
Good.
Now that you just went to, I wasn't calling for Gleyber Torres, but like they say, all it takes is one dumb owner. He probably is going to get paid, that guy.
Yeah, but not like a boatload, but somebody's going to want him, sure.
I think he's going to get 5 to 7 years somewhere
for
a lot of money.
No chance is he getting 7, 6, 5. No way. No way. Not happening.
Not in today's market. There's no chance. I wouldn't think.
But what I was calling before, when you were talking about looking at Soto's numbers on Baseball Reference, I was literally doing it when you said it. But I've also said, and Hoff actually made fun of me, but I've been saying all year, he's kind of like Bobby Abreu. He's an overblown Bobby Abreu. You know? I mean, and to get that type of money is just insane to me. It really is crazy.
I mean, listen, I get the Bobby Abreu thing. That's obviously a bit of a stretch, and you do it by design. He's got a little more pop. He's more polished. But I made the case Bobby was a better outfielder. I mean, the point is that the assessment of who Juan Soto is, like, what's the term transcendent? What is the term that Boris attached? The generational Juan Soto.
Yeah.
All right, let's explore that for a second.
Yeah,
who?
He's like the Tommy Lugauer of baseball. Generational talent.
Generational talent?
Yes.
Well, I mean...
By the way, Bobby Abreu, the comps are just ridiculously disrespectful. Come on.
Hold on. What's Bob? You got to remember, Bobby Abreu played a long time. So what's his career average? Do you have it?
Yeah. When
I think it's going to be better
291.
Than 291. Okay. It's better than Soto.
Yeah. Okay,
Soto's 285.
That's great.
But it's an important stat.
Bobby Abreu's never led the league in anything.
I understand that. But when it first came up.
One time he led the league with 50 doubles. I mean, Bobby Abreu.
It's a bit of a stretch. Yeah, but when that first came up, did you think that Bobby Abreu had a higher lifetime batting average than Juan Soto? There's no way you thought. I didn't even think that.
But Soto's main thing is not batting average.
Well, what is it? It's not power.
No, it's the most. Well, I know he's worthless, Soto.
No, I'm not saying. No, I'm asking you.
I mean, let's not.
What is he best at?
Getting on base.
Okay, is he Ricky Henderson? He can't run.
The combination of on base plus his power, plus he hit, like 285 is in today's day and age good. When Bobby Abreu played, 300 was not very, I mean, 300 was whatever.
Yeah, but that 285 is also skewed by, granted, a short year. He hit 351. I mean, he hasn't hit 300 since 2021.
Yeah.
Hit 242. 275, 288 with Judge behind him. This is
870 OPS for Abreu career.
There's no comparison. Yeah. Soto is more pop. He's better. Of course, he's better. But 291 is a pretty amazing career batting average. How old was Bobby when he retired? 38?
He played a long time.
I know. I'm just like, yeah, it's just later than that, I'm just
40.
Curious.
Actually, he was with the Mets when he was 40.
Okay, and the last couple of years, was he hitting 280 or was he hitting like 260, 250? The numbers going down.
No, 250 at age 36.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I mean, Bobby Abreu can hit. He was kind of a hit machine, but he's not Soto. But I really want to probe into this generational nonsense. Like, generational according to whom? Okay, so if you go back to the old days, is he a Stan Musial? No. Is he a David Ortiz? No. Is he Manny? Is he A-Rod? Is he Griffey? Is he Miguel Cabrera? Is he Pujols? The numbers say no. Is he George Brett? Is he a young, healthy Mattingly? No. Who is he? He's a good hitter.
No, I think he's a great hitter.
Based on what, though?
Based on watching him with my own eyes.
Okay, but you, I get you, but your eyes can sometimes mislead you because he's a 285 lifetime hitter. Okay, not 309.
But again, you're going
he's
based
not
off,
Ichiro, he's not Boggs, he's not Quinn.
You're going off a batting average. Well,
but that still matters to me.
Yeah. Okay, well,
because
maybe
I'll tell you what, if the Yankees didn't have six guys hitting 233, you know what? They would have scored more than 24 runs against the Dodgers.
Honestly, I can't. We can't have the conversation of Juan Soto's not as good as
he's not
think,
as good as people think. Just because somebody says he's the best ever, I have to accept it.
I didn't say he's the best.
No, I'm not saying you. Well, what does generational mean?
Well, I mean
it implies there's nobody like him.
I don't think that there is.
What? Yeah. Judge is better, first of all. Well, the guy behind him.
Are we not counting postseason? Because while you value batting average, I count postseason.
Witt is better.
No, come on. He's done it for 1 year.
And watch what he does for the next 15.
Okay, well, wait. I mean, can we see it? Watch what he does for the next 15. So your anticipation of what Witt is going to be for 15 years is better than what Soto has done?
No question. It's not even close.
What?
First of all, Witt steals 40 bases. And he hits 350. It's not even close, Sal. It's not.
Oh, man. And Mike Trout, too. I was told that Mike Trout was the best thing ever.
Well, the first 5 years, Mike Trout was better than Juan Soto. He was. Now,
it's amazing.
Soto's durable, man. That's a big difference.
It's almost as if the Yankees have been in the World Series every year without Juan Soto.
I'm not talking about World Series. I'm not even talking about the Yankees. I'm talking about baseball history.
Right.
Let's open our minds. Let's be a little more broad here. Mm-hmm. I'm not even talking about the Yankees or the Mets. I swear to God, Juan Soto is really good. Don't tell me he's anything more than really good.
Well, I think
he's a tool. He's a two-tool guy. And by the way, if you're going to be that second tool, which is average, you got to have higher than a 285 batting average. I mean, I just rattled off 20 names without even thinking that are better hitters.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
That we've seen play, Sal.
He's consistent. He gets on base. He's the best player available, period.
Okay, that's true.
In the prime of his career.
That's true.
He's not afraid of the wall like Bobby Abreu. He may not be a great defensive player, but he's not afraid of the wall. The guy, he works in a bat as well as anybody I've ever laid eyes on. And in the clutch, he is even better. He's not afraid of New York. There's a million reasons why I think Soto is worth every penny. And then now maybe he only gets 650. Who knows? Only gets 650. Maybe he doesn't get 700. But to me, minimizing Juan Soto's greatness, we know what he does well, and he does it better than anybody else. Get on base, power threat, clutch at bat, can hit for average. 285, it's not 255, not 240.
Not 310.
Yeah,
well, a lot of guys do that.
Who hits 310
Witt's one
now?
Of them.
Yeah, okay.
Aaron Judge hit 322. There's two of them.
And when Witt does it in the postseason, and when Witt does it for more than 1 year, and when Judge does it in the postseason, then maybe I'll start to take count for that.
You're starting a team tomorrow. You want Witt or you want Soto? Please say Soto, because I will run to the bank and be thrilled to put that name on the placard that says Witt. It ain't even close. And I got news for you. Baltimore shortstop's going to be better. There's a new wave of young players that are coming up, Sal.
Yeah, you know who I take?
Oh.
Volpe. And maybe Spencer Jones, just like I heard about those two guys.
Why are we going? We're not talking about that.
Yeah, we 2 years ago, that's what we were talking about.
We're not talking about that now.
But Bobby Witt.
What does that have to do with it? That Volpe's not as good as we thought. I'm talking about Soto.
Because Bobby Witt has 1 year proven.
Oh, come on, man. He is frighteningly good.
But by the way, Bobby Witt's not available. Juan Soto is.
That's a different part of the discussion. Best available? Best available? Check. In his prime? Check.
Right.
Amazing on base guy? Check. Somebody that I want to stay with the Yankees? Check.
Right.
Somebody that I also think is overrated? Check.
And well, but how do you have all that and then think overrated?
Because when people say generational, they are glossing over or straight up ignoring what he doesn't do well. He is deficient in 60% of the things. When you go to a scouting combine, there's five tools.
Right.
He's got two. And the other three.
Those two are going to get him paid a lot of money.
I know they
are. And it's not just one team. Like,
I
not
know.
Just...
And I want him to stay.
Right.
But, like, he ain't going to get quicker. He ain't going to get better in the outfield. He's only going to get a little slower, a little thicker over time. And look, I don't want it to distort the lines of reality. I want him to stay. So I don't want this clip going around, oh, he's coping. I really mean that. I want him to stay. Yeah. I want him to stay. But I also know what he's not. And people tend to ignore that. And I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I just think because he's the best player available, one of the best players in the sport, and I really do think his offensive numbers are on par. Where you look at a lot of them, the ability to get on base and hit with power, I mean, it's just a rare commodity, which is why, Boris could use whatever terminology he wants, but it's why he's going to get paid a lot of money. Bob is in Uniondale. What's up, Bob?
Hey. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Bob. What's up, Bob? Buddy?
I don't think I'm really not happy about the Mets going after Soto. They have other needs. They're down three starting pitchers for one. They only got two starters coming back. And so you sign Soto, there's two. There's other positions they need to address. There's good guys out there. I like that guy from Baltimore,
Santander. Yep.
I'd like to see him re-sign Alonso. Hmm. There's Adames. If they don't re-sign Alonso, they can move Vientos to first, put Adames at first base. You put Santander at right field.
Well, but why would you want Santander, Bob, instead of Soto?
Because if you sign Soto, now you're looking to sign second-tier players to fill your other positions.
No, what do you mean second-tier players? Who said, where are you getting your information from? Why can't the Mets sign Soto and Adames or Alonso?
Yeah, because they need three starting pitchers.
Okay, but they're going to do that too. They know that.
Do you think they could sign Soto, Manera, Blake Snell, along, you know?
I don't know about Blake
Snell. Do they have that kind of money?
Yes, they do, Bob. Thank you for the call. There is a realistic possibility the Mets could sign Soto, re-sign Alonso and Manaea. Absolutely. And then some. They're going to need to fill out the rotation. Like, the Mets know this. Don't think that the Mets aren't aware of the holes that they have outside of Soto. They're just making Soto the top priority. But it is realistic, BT, for the Mets to go out there and get Soto and either Adames or Alonso or somebody else that maybe we're not thinking about, whether it's via trade or free agency, and build a starting rotation. Like, they need to do all those things. They know that.
Yeah, listen, you and I could disagree or debate, you know, what Soto's great at, what he's not. Is he a little overrated? What's his true value? Blah, blah, blah. I do agree that the Mets are going to try to do more than the Yankees. So if they get Soto, they'll do more. If the Yankees get Soto, I think they kind of bridge the gap with some cheap. Although I still think they could maybe do Soto and Walker. Mm. Either way, Hoff was just telling me in my ear, what did Heyman tweet about? This is about Soto?
Yes, it's about the Soto meetings. So we can erase everything that we've talked about for the past 3 days with the money. The Soto meetings this week and last were not a time for offers. They were getting acquainted sessions, especially for owners. No offers are believed to have been made at these get-togethers. So no money has been talked about.
Right, but we didn't really discuss that. I mean, I know there was some, like, but we didn't pay attention to Baerga's report. Yeah, well, Mike, it was Mike after the way that it was explained. It was like it wasn't Mike reporting anything.
No.
It was just him
said he heard
saying
maybe
what he thought. Now, Michael Kay said that he heard from a baseball source, not an offer, that Soto, that Steve Cohen would offer $50 million more than the next person.
To me, that was the most newsworthy thing of all the contractual stuff pertaining to Soto.
Now, take that as you will, but it was Kay saying a baseball source told me.
I take it seriously.
Me too.
You're not going to mess around with that.
But I'm just saying, like, know where it's coming from.
Yeah, sure.
That Tay said, a baseball source, so that means anybody in baseball, told him that he believes Cohen will offer $50 million more. Like, it's also somebody's opinion, right? There was no, but now I believe there's value in that, but it's also not, like, we haven't got any offers. I never bought the Baerga stuff.
No, I did say, I think he said 660. I don't even know. We maybe referenced it. We didn't really dive too deeply into it. See, the thing that is most interesting to me about what Michael Kay said, it's not so much that the Mets are prepared to spend more than 50 mil. It's when he injected his opinion, which is obviously based on his inner workings of the franchise.
What?
He didn't think that they would. I don't want to put words in it. I really don't want to misrepresent this. It's a really important thing. But I think it was along the lines of, you know, he doesn't think the Yankees would be comfortable with that or whatever.
Right.
And that is from years of knowing how they operate and being connected. Yeah, of course. It's not like he's pulling out of left field.
Yeah, I know.
Doesn't mean they can't change their opinion.
Right.
Doesn't mean he can't be slightly off. But that's a neighborhood. When it comes to the Yankees, I'm going to follow K. I usually have.
Plus, I believed that anyway, without having any sources or anything like that. Common sense would tell me Steve Cohen is going to offer more, but with that legitimacy, they're coming from somebody in baseball telling Kay, who also is in baseball, there's more merit to it. All right. BT and Sal back on the Fan. We'll talk some Giants coming up with Jermaine Illuminor. Tommy DeVito, of course, named the starter. It's over for Daniel Jones, so we'll dissect all of that. Look ahead to the Bucks. And see how Illuminor is feeling when we discuss all things New York Giants coming up with him in 13 minutes. Let's get back to the phones here, BT.
Yeah, it's hot.
With Juan Soto, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Brendan is in White Plains. What's up, Brendan?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, so I wanted to just kind of call BT out on something. So a few minutes ago you mentioned Juan Soto, is not an all-time great player. And you rattled off a bunch of names. You said he's not in the same, you know, class as them. I think perhaps you're just looking it through, you know, your Yankee colored glasses, because, you know, maybe you see him slipping away.
Brendan, hold on, but you couldn't be more wrong. But keep going. You really couldn't be more wrong. I'm not nine years old, dude, with a poster over my bed that I share with my wife.
All right,
come on, dude.
All right, well, hear me out here. You go on Baseball Reference, like you talked about.
Yeah.
You got a 953 career OPS.
Uh-huh.
You use Bill James similarity scores. Here's the top eight players through age 25 season.
Yep.
Bryce Harper, Frank Robinson, Ken Griffey Jr., Mike Trout, Andrew Jones, Eddie Matthews, Miguel Cabrera, Mickey Mantle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So tell me how he's not in the same class as an all-time great. You're someone who often discredits counting stats when it comes to
Brendan, that's not true. I actually really embrace stats.
Right.
I don't really get into it too much on the air because it's quite boring. I don't want to just, you know, inundate you with numbers. But no, I absolutely.
You use too many stats for my liking, to be honest. Yeah, so Brendan was wrong on that one.
I mean, I had to sell you on just getting away with the OPS usage.
Right.
That was a little bit too much
that
for you.
That is
true. I mean, listen, some of the names. Now, again, when I look at somebody like Juan Soto, it's probably more. It's not about saying that he's not great, but it's for me, it's about properly anointing the right level of greatness. And I admit, I'm very literal with this stuff. I remember when I first started my career, don't believe me. But when people, it bothered me. It was like a little thing that bothered me, and I tried not to do it. When people misused or overused the word great, hey, what a great player. Oh, what a great game. No, great is the highest form of reverence. Like, when I was growing up, great was great. Muhammad Ali, Jordan, you know, Babe Ruth. Those are the great names. Jesse Owens from the Olympics. Great. Great. Not good. Not amazing in two things and deficient in three. He's a terrific hitter. But now when you look at the other names, I know you heard Ken Griffey Jr. Are you kidding me? If you have a chance to start a team and you have Griffey at the age of 19, you're actually thinking about taking Juan Soto. If so, I hope that I'm in your division. I mean, honestly, you can give me Albert Pujols. I know he couldn't run, all right, but he hit 340 every year, basically, and he mashed 40 home runs every year. It's not even close. I mean, Miguel Cabrera, I don't think he was on PEDs. The guy hit 350. Juan Soto had a really, really good year, and it was the most home runs he's ever hit in his career. I mean, so it's not about denigrating Soto. It's about me, and I admit that I do take this seriously because baseball's my favorite sport. I'm very literal in assigning where you belong. Now, there's an element of objectivity and subjectivity. The objectivity are the stats. You could call me and yell and push back. That's fine. Go to the stats, because I don't want to waste time on the radio doing that. Subjectivity, that's a little different. That's where you have the conversation. But if you look at Soto's stats, and you think he's all-time, all-time, then we just view the game very differently, and that's okay.
Do you think Bobby Witt Jr. is great?
I think Bobby Witt's going to run circles around Juan Soto when his career is over.
Do you think he's great or not?
100%.
Okay. Well, you have his numbers up? Or you
I don't need
him.
He plays shortstop, which is the most demanding position in baseball, along with catcher. He steals 40 bases, hits bombs, hit 330. Right. And I watch him play.
Well,
that's all I need to
know. How many bombs did he hit?
This year?
Yeah.
What, 35, 40? How many?
32.
Okay, 32.
Fewer than Soto.
Okay. How old is he, by the way?
How many ribbies did he have?
I don't know.
He's 24.
He's on a team with a bunch of nobodies.
109 ribbies.
So he had the same.
Soto had 109 ribbies.
Okay, so he had the same, and he had nobody around him.
Right. His Bobby Witt Jr.
Pasqualito, what's that Italian kid? They had nobody on that team. And Sally Perez, who can't run.
His career batting average
is
288.
Okay.
Juan Soto, 285.
Okay.
His career OPS, 841. And we went over Soto before, 953.
I got it.
Those are just the numbers. And I get that he plays shortstop, sure, but so what? You like that he runs and can catch the ball?
Well, I do. Can I tell you why?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you why. This is basic stuff.
Right.
Juan Soto
that's not his strength, Juan Soto.
I know, but that's what I'm pointing out. The other guys do have that strength, which to me makes them better or certainly more dangerous. Now he's got to do it for a long time. I get you that. I get that. But look at Soto. If Juan Soto goes 0-4 and Witt goes 0-4, who has more impact on the game? It's Witt.
Oh, I mean, Soto might walk and get on base a little bit.
I'm saying 0-4. They both take the collar.
They're two different players, but Juan Soto.
Well, I know they're two different. Right. One's better and one's not.
Yeah, Juan Soto is.
One's got more skill.
Juan Soto's better, far better in his two areas than Bobby Witt Jr. is.
Okay, but that's like saying that, one student brings home two A's and the others are D's, rather than Bobby Witt, who's bringing home five A's. Or two A minuses compared to Soto, and the rest, A minuses.
There is nobody in baseball better at taking an at bat than Juan Soto.
Okay, now can you quantify that?
Yeah,
is that literally true?
Well, walking, he's led the league in walks for three years.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, was it 3 straight years? 2021, 2022.
He's always on base. I'm not going to push back on that. That's stupidity. He's always on base. I know that. Always on base.
Yeah, the OPS. I mean, you've seen what he can do.
What did he hit last year?
What
was his batting average last year?
275.
Okay, is that good? I mean, that's supposed to be amazing?
Well, I don't
275?
Think it's bad.
What did he hit the year before?
246,
252. Okay,
yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, and then the year before
I understand.
313.
Is that good? Then 351, the truncated season. Understood.
You're getting caught up on the batting average.
I'm getting caught up on who's
better at taking an at-bat in Major League Baseball?
Who's better at doing more things to help me win?
Well, Francisco Lindor.
But that's what I'm interested in.
Well, Francisco Lindor then is better.
I can make the case that Lindor's got more overall skill than Juan Soto. Easily make that case.
Oh, I'd like to hear that then.
Well, he runs better. He plays a more premium position. Now the average is not like Witt, so that's the difference.
Right.
So I'm not going to go crazy here with Lindor. I mean, Witt hit 430 in a month this year.
Yeah.
You're just sleeping on him. I don't know what to say.
I'm not sleeping on him.
He's insane.
I'm not sleeping on him. I just don't think he's as good a baseball player as Juan Soto is.
So if you're starting the team, you're really going to take Soto over Witt?
I mean, that's a different
story.
That doesn't make any sense if you're starting a team. What's real is Juan Soto is available. And what's real is that he is the best player available. He's in the prime of his career. He is a historically good offensive player.
I don't dispute that. Those are check marks.
Yeah.
But now, because when you say that he's available, now the conversation's going to end because Witt's not available. But let me push it forward. He signed the contract. If he was available, who's getting more money and who's getting more years, Witt or Soto? You know the answer is Witt.
I don't know that.
So how many bases did he steal last year?
Yeah. But now
he's going to win the Gold Glove. He steals 50 bases, hits 320, has 40 doubles, had the same amount of RBIs with nothing around him. A trash
Bobby Witt,
Royals lineup.
Bobby Witt has played 3 seasons in the big leagues.
Yep.
He hit 254.
He was a kid, dude.
276.
All right.
He's 2 years younger than Juan Soto.
And each year it's going up. 254, 276,
3-1. So at age 22 and age 23 for Juan Soto, just for reference, at age 22... Juan Soto hit 313.
How many bases did he steal?
That's not his thing.
But that's my thing, Sal. That's why I keep saying it.
Okay, well, then if you want somebody that could steal bases.
I want somebody who could do everything.
Vince Coleman and Ricky.
Oh. No, but Vince Coleman hit 4 home runs a year. With his 4, it's 35.
Well, how many stolen bases has Aaron Judge had?
I'm not talking about Aaron Judge. I wish Judge ran more. He probably should.
But we both say Judge is the best player that we've seen.
Well, he's got a better arm than Soto. He's a better right fielder than Soto. He hits more home runs than Soto. He's got a higher OPS than Soto. Right. So, yeah, check. Yeah.
He's got 53 stolen bases in his career.
And what's Soto have?
Yeah. I don't even... I,
It's not. It might be 53, but it might not be.
But again,
neither one runs. But I'm not talking about Judge.
At what Juan Soto does, he does better than anybody else in baseball.
Soto?
Yes.
Getting on base? It's not home
taking
runs.
Taking it at bat, getting on base, combining that with power.
But
yes.
That last part I got, that was a little nebulous because, you know, taking it at bat. Well, yes, when you take it at bat, you can tell fairly fast who knows what they're doing and who doesn't. Mm-hmm. But then I'm going to say, all right, well, let's extrapolate off of taking the at-bat. What happens? Well, what's your batting average? It's .285. It's good, not amazing. Like, then I go to, okay, great. You look good with the Soto shuffle. You look yoked. I mean, you look great in pinstripes. You got a good body. Fantastic. You got mojo. You got a vibe. You're not hitting .320. Judge did.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Anthony's in Nassau County. What's up, man?
Hi, before I make my point, I just want to tell you Aaron Judge had a higher on-base percentage and a higher more walks than Soto. But that's beside the point. Sal. You're always saying that the Mets are better than the Yankees because they went 6 games in the World Series. The Yankees went 5.
I never said that. Well,
they only went five games.
Yes, that I said. Yes. Yeah.
Well, let's look at the World Series the Mets had. Mm-hmm. 4 games they lost, they got blown out.
What do you mean the World Series?
Not the World Series. I mean the NLCS. The 4 games they lost.
Anthony, we don't need to rehash it. We all know what happened. We all watched the game.
Why do you keep saying that? Saying, well, the Yankees only went 5 games. The Yankees only went 5 games. The Mets went 6.
They did.
They got blown out in 4 games, and they had Freddie Freeman who couldn't even walk.
No, but the bigger point, that's fine. The bigger point is, and Freddie Freeman was the same player. What do you mean he couldn't even walk?
Yeah, but he couldn't even walk in the Mets series. He hobbled.
And he didn't have to walk in the Yankee series because he kept hitting the ball over the fence.
Yeah, but he was a better player.
Yeah, well, facing the Yankee pitcher.
He was a better player than against the Mets.
Yeah, Anthony, hold on. Two things. The Mets and Yankees both played the same team. How many times did the Yankees beat that team?
Yeah, they beat them once,
and they didn't get blown out. I just want to answer. It's a simple exercise. I just want to have some fun and answer your question. Here we go. It's like school. You know how you get like a test in school and it says, okay, question number one, the Mets and Yankees both played the same team. How many times did the Yankees beat that team?
Once.
How many times did the Mets beat that team?
Twice.
Okay.
They got blown out four times.
Anthony, I got that. I didn't ask you question number
the
two.
The Yankees gave away 2 games and lost one in extra innings.
So does that make you feel better?
There was no blowout.
Does that make you feel better?
No, it doesn't make me feel better, but you keep saying that. It makes no sense.
Let Soto go to the Mets. I can't have the conversation because you're not listening. I actually want to have a conversation with you. We can't
I'll
do
have
that.
A conversation with yourself.
Can you please listen to me because that knucklehead couldn't do it.
Go ahead.
And I'm at my wit's end with it.
You're
I can't
very patient
deal
with
it.
I'm proud of you. Very patient today, Sal.
It is a fact. Like, I don't know. Oh, you keep saying it. Why are Yankee fans so sensitive?
I don't care. Bother me at all.
Hey, look, I didn't drop the ball in center field. Aaron Judge is the best player in the world. He dropped the ball, not me. Don't take it out on me. They both played the Dodgers. One team won 2 games out of 6. The other team won 1 game out of 5. Okay, that's just a fact. Now, that doesn't mean anything. The Yankees won the World Series. Great. Good for them. Hang the banner. Do the Yankeeography. I really don't care. Yankees were supposed to win the World Series. They didn't. The Mets were lucky if they won 81 games. They got to the NLCS and beat the big bad Dodgers, world champs, twice. And by the way, ask the Dodgers who was tougher, because I've heard from a lot of Dodgers. Now, I didn't ask it myself, but I've heard the reports. Ask them who was more tough in the competition, Mets or Yankees. But that's besides the point. So don't let facts get in the way. The facts that the Mets beat the Dodgers more, the facts that the Dodgers said the Mets were tougher competition than the Yankees. The reality is, as it pertains to Soto, which team is set up better for success moving forward? I want to hear the argument why one is way above the other. There isn't one. You can't make that argument. You could go based off of history if you want, but I'll go off of recent history. Both missed the playoffs a year ago. The Yankees added Juan Soto, and they got to the World Series. Now if they lose Juan Soto, you're going to have a lot of work to do to get back to that spot. Whereas if the Mets add Juan Soto to what they already had last year, and obviously more on top of it, they should theoretically be in a better place. Tougher league, sure, but just as good, if not better place, than the Yankees.
See, I couldn't care less that the Mets won an extra game. I mean, the Mets got their asses drilled against the Dodgers. Can we please not ignore this? 9-0, 8-0. They got absolutely waxed. Yeah, I know literally they won one more game.
What does that mean, though? So they got
honestly, you want my honest answer? Yeah. Nothing. That's why I don't reference
exactly.
it. That's why, like, Yankees won they won one less game. The Mets aggregately
I don't really reference
was
it either.
Who cares? Neither team won a World Series.
Right. I don't really reference it either, but as it pertains to the Mets versus the Yankees, like the Mets being in a better, or the Yankees being in a better spot to win, what's it based off of?
Well, you did ask me this question before, and I grant you, the Yankees have a lot of work to do, as do the Mets, but the Yankees currently have the best position player on both rosters and the best pitcher, and by far a superior bullpen.
Right.
So I'll start with
and
that.
It's November 19th.
Understood, but the best pitcher, the best player in that bullpen is going to be back. It can only be enhanced.
Yeah. Well, the Mets
having the conversation on November 19th.
Right.
So I can only, if you ask me who's further along or who's closer or whatever, I can only answer you from the purview of November 19th.
Right.
With constant, that's why I'm not saying Soto, because I don't know if Soto's going to be back.
Right, but I know the Mets already have an MVP in Francisco Lindor as well, plus their ace pitcher should be coming back in Kodai Senga. Now, again, neither of these pitchers pitched game one of the season a year ago.
Yeah, and I don't even want to start getting into who's better, Judge or Lindor, because I know where that goes. But you know the answer.
I'm just saying, like,
or who's better, Cole or Senga? Right. I don't want to be petty, but we know the answer.
Right.
Like, it almost doesn't matter. What matters is two teams. This is really what matters, Sal. Two teams are going for the biggest baseball prize ever.
Right,
and they're sitting at the table, and one team is trying to jump in front of the constant in this town. And if they do it, it is you guys should celebrate. You'll go nuts. You'll have earned that right. And the Yanks will have to pivot. The Mets will still have to do more. Like, there's so many unknown chapters. I love it. I think that this Soto stuff's incredible to talk about.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. This Giants call is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. As we welcome in Jermaine Illuminor, how was the bye week for you, Jermaine? I saw you were watching some football because I saw you tweeting about sacks are overrated. What'd you do during the bye week?
Nothing. Just hung out with my daughter and wife. It was by the beach, so it was real fun. Just able to get away for a little bit, so it's cool.
I mean, there's always a need to get away from the physical rigors of football, but an emotional need too with the season going the way it's gone so far?
I think no matter how the season goes, mentally you need to get away for a little bit because it's so time-consuming and just consuming in general that, you need to have that little break mentally where you can just get away and decompress and then get ready to hopefully go on a run depending on what situation you're in or just, win some games and get everything you have to end the season on a high note.
I'm not sure if you've heard, Jermaine, but the Giants have a new starting quarterback. How do you feel about the change with Tommy DeVito taking over?
Yeah, I mean, in practice, Vito is real. He's a playmaker, talented. I wasn't here last year when he was playing, but I remember watching him on film when we were getting ready to play against the Giants when I was in Vegas. That, he's a talented guy. He's a playmaker, and he kind of reminds me of like a Johnny Manziel in a sense, just running around and just scrambling, making stuff out of nothing. So I'm excited to get to play with him and do what we need to do to hopefully win this week.
How was he in the huddle?
He's just like any other quarterback. He tells you what you need to do and then you go with it. I haven't been around too many quarterbacks with like that commanding presence. I remember when I was in the huddle with Tom Brady for the first time, and you just felt the pressure to succeed, but you just felt the energy he was giving us, and there's not too many people like that in the NFL that just give us that type of aura. So, he's a good dude in the huddle to have, and, he's a real funny guy. Like I said, he's talented, but he's real chill as well, and, just good defense that he won't let the pressure get to him and just go out there and have fun and play ball.
Mm-hmm. So, with Dota, Jermaine Illuminor, BT and Sal here on The Fan. You have been very forthright, very transparent, defending Daniel Jones over the weeks, really months at this point that you've been with us, a great teammate, a stand-up guy. We weren't surprised that there was a quarterback change. We were slightly surprised that it was DeVito over Drew Lock. Is DeVito clearly better than Drew Lock? Like, why was it not Drew Lock? I know you're a player. I get that, and you're not a coach, but were you surprised it was DeVito over Drew Lock?
My job is to protect whoever they put back there, so I try not to get into the whole X's and O's of who they choose to play quarterback or how they handle all that, So for me, it was more so just whoever they put back there, I'm going to protect them and go out there and do my job.
Understood. But let me put
really
it
no surprise. I mean, like I said, there was really nothing that
I want to say not surprise me, but, you know, like I said, it's not my job to choose who they put back there. I just block whoever's back there and do my job and try to do that to the best of my ability, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. I get it. So what about just in terms of, because we saw DeVito a year ago, and it was fun. He's from here, and not just because he's from here. He had a little spark. He's got a little something there. If I said, all right, Jermaine, what does DeVito do best versus what Drew Lock does best? I mean, maybe a little comparison there. Can you give us something like that?
I just think they're two different quarterbacks. I think Vito likes to try and make stuff out of nothing. And, you know, he's able to just scramble around. Sometimes. I mean, just from what I've seen on tape, I haven't seen him in game. Personally, yeah, I'll get to see that this Sunday. And same with Drew Lock. You know, I've never played with him before. I've seen what I've seen in practice. And like I said, they both bring really good qualities to the table. You know, they just chose Vito. So I'm going to go out there on Sunday and block my butter for him.
BT and Sal, we're talking with Jermaine Illuminor. What kind of challenges for you, Jermaine? I kind of alluded to this last week, but now that it's official and you have the more, DeVito in there, who, as you said, could kind of scramble on a little, schoolyard football, does that pose a different challenge for you, blocking him up front?
You mean like, just the change in quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, the different skill sets. I know Daniel Jones could run too, but a lot of design runs more with Daniel Jones. It feels like DeVito is a scrambler at times. Can that pose more of a challenge to you protecting him?
No, I think it's my job to be able to adjust on the fly, like I said earlier in the year. You know, so for me, being who I am and who I believe the type player I am, you know, it shouldn't be too much of a problem for me to adjust DeVito. Like, I'll just go out there and just keep playing my game and, you know, I feel like my game's QB friendly because I like to go out there and just do my job to the highest of my ability. So, I mean, there won't be no difference in my game. I'm going to go out there and try to lock everyone down and keep them clean.
You're healthy, all good, and you expect to be on the left side the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just taking it a week at a time. So, you know, we play the Bucks this week. You know, I'm at left tackle this week again, and I'm going to go out there and have some fun.
Hey, by the way, we couldn't help but notice some of those some of the sounds from your daughter, who you've talked about a couple times on the show. Dude, give her the bottle. What are you keeping the bottle? What's going on, man?
No, I'm literally in the back of the car. We're heading to Crane Barrel to go get some Christmas stuff. So, you know, I'm on daddy duty right now.
That is awesome. So I'm trying to keep
her entertained.
I get it. How old is she, man?
She's 9 months.
Oh, wow. God bless her, man. That's adorable. Yeah, so
she's having a blast right now.
Yeah.
And then, her toys all over the place.
Is that your only one?
Yeah, it's the only one right now.
You gotta get the rest of that team in place, brother. You know, you gotta get some teammates.
Eventually.
I hear you. She's still too young to get ready for Santa. I mean, 9 months is, you know, you don't really know what's going on yet. But, hey, let me give you a couple tips, all right? Dad to dad, man to man, and I have a daughter as well. Yeah. Moana, if you haven't watched Moana yet, you gotta watch Moana. Frozen.
Oh, she listens to the soundtrack all the time.
Oh, so you know. See, okay.
I don't need to know.
Yeah. What about Frozen?
I think that she listens to the Frozen soundtrack too. So that Let It Go song, I think she's.
Yeah, I like that song. I love that song, actually. I can only imagine what a little girl, when she hears it. That's awesome, dude. 9 months old. God bless, dude.
last one for me, Jermaine. Just about, and I know you guys aren't tanking, but that's a thought from the fan base. You know that. How do you guys keep it together in that locker room? Change at quarterback. The season is a lost cause at this point at 2-8. What's the feel inside that locker room, and how do you keep it together to be competitive, try to go win a game here on Sunday?
Yeah, I think you got to be mature about it, you know, and be a pro. And everyone says, be a pro. But what is truly being a pro? And that is just going out there and doing your job to the highest ability, like I always say, and, you know, not letting off-the-field things or things people are saying affect your game. You know, I mean, we get paid to play this game at the highest level, and it's a production-based league. So if we don't go out there even over 2-8 and do our job, then, you know, they'll be looking to replace us next season. So it's our job to go out there, play this game that, like I said, we get paid a lot of money to do, but then we also love to play this game also. So, you know, for me personally, I'm going to keep going out there and doing my job, you know, showing who I am, not only to the fans, but this team and this organization, and just showing how valuable I can be. And I'm sure there's guys in love them that feel the same way. Just, you know, because you want to be a part of the people that turn this around and truly turn us back to this franchise that it used to be. So that's my goal and my expectation, to go out there and dominate every single play.
Hey, go have a little fun with that princess. All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Appreciate y'all.
Thanks, Jermaine. We appreciate you checking in.
Sal, remember the days with the car seat? Like when you first tried to figure out the car seat, how to get it in and how to get it out. Oh, no.
Yeah, I remember the night at the hospital was rough. I didn't know what the hell was going on, you know, before the baby was born, trying to figure that damn car seat out. Even now, I don't like it. We take it to the firehouse or whatever.
Oh, yeah, she's still young enough. Yes, she's in it still.
Still car seat, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I don't miss those little, you know, I don't miss that those days, though. You can't sleep, and the baby fussing and crying in the bottle.
You know what? You know what I've learned, and maybe because I've been through it twice, but when you're in the moment, you're wishing for the moment to go by because you're exhausted and you just mentally tapped out. And then there's a point where you wish you could have it back, even if it's for a little bit. So it was tough. I mean, you're talking about 9 months old, 5 months. And really, at that point, whether it's a little boy or a girl, I mean, it's not much for a dad. It's tough for the dad can't do what the mom's doing at that point in time. So we're kind of sitting there watching and, you know, doing the bottle as much as we can. But then we get thrown into it and there's no rule book or roadmap. It ain't easy, man. I still miss it a little bit, though.
Do you think Jermaine has heard more crying from his baby or from Giant fans at MetLife this season?
You know what? I think there's been more apathy in MetLife.
Yeah, well.
So I would say probably more from his little girl.
All right, we'll come back. Reset, hit you with the crowd topic of the day from chart-topping band the Avett Brothers. Come Swept Away, breathtaking new Broadway musical. With jaw-dropping thrills and unforgettable performances, this mighty tale of shipwreck, survival, and the power of brotherhood will leave your soul feeling brand new. Tickets at SweptAwayMusical.com.